Welcome to The Breakaway, a Sacramento Republic podcast.
Bandit in the box! Unbelievable strike!
My goodness, what a defensive play!
Half the crowd can't even believe it!
Welcome, everybody, into The Breakaway. I'm your host, Connor Sutton, and on today's podcast, general manager of your Sacramento Republic. Oh, and he also may have won one or two, or actually five, MLS championships. It's Todd Donovan. As he and I talk about what the plans are for the offseason and much, much more, and the influx of youth and how that will factor in the future. So lots of good stuff here from Todd Donovan. He is on today's podcast. Before we get to him, want to remind you that coming up next week, November 17th, voting is now open for Republic FC Kickstart Program Latinx Edition. You can vote for the nominated Latinx-owned small businesses by submitting the form. Go to sacrepublicfc.com/suncrestbank, and your votes could help one of these small businesses get a $5,000 grand prize of a grant. Pretty cool. sacrepublicfc.com/suncrestbank. All right, let's get to general manager Todd Donovan. Well, Sacramento Republic FC fans, special guest again. We had him on way back when we started the podcast, and he's back on again. Your general manager, Todd Donovan. Todd, good to see you. It's been a while since we've talked on the podcast. Obviously, we've talked at various other things where we've seen each other in person, but it's good to see you. How are you? You enjoying a little bit of the off season? Although I guess this is your busy time.
No, that's exactly right. Hey, Connor, thanks for having me on again. Yeah, no, this is the off season is when things really ramp up for me in a big way. I don't think there's too many down periods, but this is certainly the most hectic. You know, and in generally in a good way, right? Trying to make the team better and a lot of action. So it's a busy time, but you know, all for a good cause, of course.
Oh, absolutely. And I think, you know, one thing that's so interesting about this year with COVID and the shortened seasons and what we've seen really around the world in soccer is evaluating players right now, which I know is a big part of what you're going through right now. Has to be so tough just because the sample sizes are much smaller than we'll see in a typical season. Has that become a factor for you, even as you're talking about evaluating team this year from the Republic standpoint, and then, you know, evaluating talent elsewhere on, you know, from different players on other teams?
Yeah, without a doubt. I mean, it's an odd year, right? Like, you've got a shortened season. So you just have to kind of adjust your metrics, adjust how you're looking at things. I think ultimately for us, you know, we've got specific ideas of what we want and specific profiles of players. And we have a good idea of what we're looking for and who we are, what our identity is. That's very clear. So that helps. And that makes it easier because now you know what you're looking for. You know what type of person you're looking for. And that, you know, whittles things down pretty quickly. So all that said, you know, it is a giant player pool. You know, so we have a lot of players to look at and do that, but it's, you know, it's fun. Like, ultimately that's fun. And you're trying to fit pieces that fit our club, that fit our city. That's fun. It's a lot of work, but it's also a lot of fun.
Well, I know you go and take a lot of time into evaluating each player, but specifically when you talk about evaluating the 2020 season for the Republic, you know, there was ups and downs throughout the season, but again, a 16-game window, guys getting injured. I mean, for the first, 10 or so games, you had to basically teach Asher Poland how to play left back, who was a typical wing. Things like that can become a factor, but overall, would you say that this season, from your standpoint, was a successful season?
Yeah, I mean, I think you look at the whole season. It was a 16-game regular season. We had the playoffs. In the regular season, we lost two games out of 16. Obviously, 3 out of 17 overall. I think regardless of how you slice it, we were a tough team to beat, and we didn't lose a lot of games. And, you know, I think when you look at it that way, it's like, wow, we put out – every time we stepped on the field, you know, we were in it. And in a big way. And so I think ultimately we didn't get to where we wanted to go. We wanted to advance further in the playoffs. You know, we made it into extra time and against, you know, arguably the best team over the last 2-3 seasons in Phoenix Rising. and gave them everything they wanted. And it, you know, it took a fluke play to knock us out. Ultimately, we had 120 minutes to do something about it. We didn't. So those breaks go against you. And it certainly did. So it was a tough way to go out. At the same time, you know, our scoring issues throughout the season got better. I think the second half of the season, you saw a very different tale than the first half. First half of the season, we were winning a lot of games 1-0, getting a lot of shutouts. Love that. Love that as a starting point for any team. You're not going to lose a lot of games when you're not giving up goals. We did that very well in the first half. We put a big emphasis on scoring, which increased in a big way. And we started to have lots of multi-goal games, you know, down the stretch, which was great. We also conceded more. So ultimately, you know, that was a trade-off we were willing to make. But in playoffs, in the critical game, we didn't score. And we had, you know, some chances, and we didn't, you know, you're not going to get a lot of chances. And being clinical, being, you know, being sort of ruthless in the 18-yard box is what it's all about in our sport. We didn't do that well enough. And when you don't do it, you know, and at the beginning of the season, against Tacoma, against Portland, it's going to show up in the playoffs at the end of the season against Phoenix and in the critical moments. And that's what happened. So we need to be more clinical. We need to be, you know, stronger at both ends of the boxes, really. But I think overall, you look at the season, tons of challenges. Ultimately, that's what Republic's made for. That's what we're about. You know, and that's what being indomitable is about. So we took that challenge on head first. Didn't get ultimately as far as we wanted to go, but a hell of a lot of things to build on, and something that I think, you know, the players and staff and the community can be proud of.
100%. I love that you call it a fluke play. There's some other adjectives that I would use, but obviously you're a little more PC than I am on that subject. So, but one of the bright spots of this year, and there were many bright spots, like you said, a very successful year, was the influx of youth on the first team. Players like Hayden Sargis getting lots of minutes. Mario Penagos, Juju Chavez played extremely well, had their first career goals. Rafael Jauregui, who developed and played very well. What do you see for the continued influx of youth as we head into the next season?
Yeah, for me, that's the story of 2020, is the youth. So I think you hit it head on. The fact that we were able to not only get those guys on the field, but give them the platform to contribute in a big way. And they did that. Each one of those guys you mentioned made major impacts on the field for this club. It wasn't, hey, we're going to throw men, hopefully they don't drown. It wasn't that mentality at all. It was, hey, you got to go earn this. And when you do earn it, you're one of the pros, and you're out there with the pros. And so act like it. And they did. You know, starting with Hayden Sargis, you know, position and defense. I mean, just total breakout season for him, and he turned a lot of heads. I think, you know, you'll be seeing more of Hayden, you know, hopefully on our national team set up, and he's somebody who deserves that. He's earned it. So, you know, that's ultimately, some of that's out of our control, but he gave himself that opportunity with the way he played. You saw, you know, what young Rafa did in limited minutes, but he comes on the field as a 15-year-old and did not look out of place. If you're somebody who is watching that game and doesn't know how old he is, you wouldn't be able to pick him out as the 15-year-old. And that just is a credit to him, his demeanor, the way he carries himself, and what a good player he is. So he's got big things ahead. And then Mario and Juju, who obviously, you know, rescued 3 points for us down in Portland. I mean, both of them made major contributions with goals, and when no one else could do it, those guys stepped up and took the moment, you know, and made a big play, both of them. So huge, I think, for our club, for our academy. You know, you're going to see more of that. That's not going away. That's who we are. We have a great academy. We have a great you know, area that we pull players from, and we have a lot of talent here. So, you know, our academy staff has done such a good job of, you know, grooming that talent. And ultimately we've shown the pathway now, and those players can see, hey, come to the academy, you do well, you continue to work your way up through the ranks, and you're going to get a chance with the first team, not just to practice and train, but also to get on the field. And then when you do, you're going to help us, and you're going to get every chance, you know, that you earn. So I think for us, it was a huge story for this year, and it's something we're going to continue.
And watching the two goals from Penagos and Juju Chavez, I think it was the moment of the year voted by the team, Juju Chavez's goal. And I think when we've been doing our countdowns on social media, the moment of the year for fans wise as well, just an unbelievable goal at the death for Juju Chavez.
Yeah. Incredible. I mean, it's so, so great. And, you know, big credit to those guys for coming into a game late like that and making an impact. They didn't have much time, right? They came in, you know, the last 10 minutes or so and made all of it count. So that was great. And huge credit to Mark and the whole coaching staff for giving those guys that platform, right? That takes courage from them. But we also don't think it takes that much courage because those guys are ready. They are there. So huge credit though to Mark and for playing those guys and giving them that chance. And you've seen what they've done with it. Huge credit to him and those guys on it.
Mark Briggs has such a interesting and fun way of approaching coaching from a perspective of viewership. He always seems to try and get the best out of his players. And I think in certain instances, he has shown that he is not afraid to take chances to maybe prove a point to players. Is that something that you think is we're going to see maybe become more of a factor in the future? I know you and Mark work closely together as you guys try to mold together this 2021 roster. But it seems like there were certain instances where guys weren't stepping up, scoring goals. Well, all right, we're going to try and figure out who can. It's almost that if you're not sure, what are you doing for us right now mentality? And especially in a 16-game season, that seemed incredibly important because it was nobody really could get all that comfortable. So as we go into 2021, I guess my roundabout question is, how do we how do you as evaluators, you and Mark together, try and piece that together for the preseason, for the offseason, as we head into 2021?
Well, competition's good, and I think what you're talking about is standards, and Mark has very high standards, and you can see that in the team. I mean, every day in training, it's one of the hardest things to learn as an athlete. You're always trying to reach the summit, and once you do, or once you have a good day in training, or, you know, you can take it down to a very micro level, you always have to show up the next day, and you're always starting right back where you were. There's no residuals in sports where, hey, I won the championship last year, so now I'm further ahead. No, you're like, you are right back down with everyone else, starting at the same place. And so you have to have the mentality of every day is a new day. You know, and every day you have to prove it because somebody's trying to take what you have. Somebody's trying to, you know, one up you. And so the more we can have that mentality, I think the better. And Mark certainly shows that on the training field. It's one thing to hear him, you know, which everyone gets to, you know, when there's no fans, you can hear him clear as day on the sidelines, but in training it's another level even as well. And it's not just shouting to shout. He's encouraging, he's complimenting, he's pushing. You know, he'll let you know when you make a mistake, but he'll also let you know when you do something right. And he keeps players honest, and you know, and he's very clear. And I think as players, and really as people, all you can ask is that you know the truth and know where you stand. Mark does a really good job of communicating with the players and letting them know what he expects of them, what he wants of them. And ultimately then it's very clear. And if the players can't do that or, you know, have issues with it, then it's clear. These were the expectations and they weren't met. I think on the flip side, when you do well and you do perform as, you know, for the team, I think, you're rewarded and you stay in the team. And that's what you saw, you know, again, going back to Hayden Sargis, that's why he was in the team all year. It wasn't because we said, hey, he's the future and we have to play him. No, he deserved it every single week, deserved it every single game. And that's why he, you know, led the team in minutes. It's because he earned it. And that's how it should be.
This offseason, I'm sure, it's exciting. It's weird, as this season was. But I talked a bit about it with Mark last week. Due to COVID complications, as you start to recruit players and look at guys, are there any instances where you're saying, I don't know if we're going to be able to bring this player in from overseas because of the travel bans and things going on internationally. Is that something that you have noticed, or are you more trying to stay domestically?
It's always tricky with the international thing, and especially now, like you said, there's travel restrictions, there's other things. I think we're far enough out where we can plan ahead, and you know, hopefully things are in a place where you can have a player, but that's a risk, right? Like if somebody's in another country and needs to come here, it could be a situation where they can't come, you know, and that's a risk. We haven't run into that yet, but it certainly exists, and you know, we're hoping that with the time we have before next season, we can get those ducks in a row, if you will, and try and plan accordingly. Some of this, as we know from 2020, is just out of your hands, and you can't plan for it, and you have to react and react in a good way. So, yeah, it's a situation that nobody's ever seen or been a, you know, there's no blueprint for what happened this year. And just put ourselves in the best position possible to be ready when the ball's rolled out again.
With the success and the way that you guys played this year, especially at the end of the year with that high octane attacking, it was incredibly, incredibly fun to watch. And I think I'm curious to hear, as we talk about going into 2021, what types of specifically players, are there certain attributes that you're looking at from players who might be coming in from the offseason, or players you're evaluating, thinking about bringing in as we look into the 2021 season?
Yeah, I mean, the attributes, number one, of who we are as a club is mentality. And we want the right mentality. We want guys who, like we talked about, bring it every single day. They want to win. They're competitive. It annoys them to lose, you know, in warmups. It annoys them to lose on Saturday. It annoys that, like, it eats at their core. That's the kind of mentality we want. We want winners. We want somebody who not only plays, you know, we want somebody who plays for the team. Ultimately, we want guys who have the ability to help their teammate next to them, and not just look out for themselves, you know, lift your teammate, cover for your teammate, do all those things. And so, you know, that indomitable mentality that's Sacramento, that's who we are. That's what we're about. You know, we want guys who, you know, and it was very apt this year. We want guys who do the right thing when no one's looking. And what by that, you know, I mean, if you're, you know, in a, you know, period in COVID where you have to train on your own, you could get away with not doing the workout, but do you do the workout? Do you cut corners? Do you pick up a loose piece of trash that you see on the training field? All these little things might not sound like a big thing, but it actually, that's the core of who you are as a player, as a team, and as a club. And if we have enough guys that have that mentality and ultimately are doing those things properly, you know, we're going to be set up for success. So I think, you know, between mentality, you know, putting the team first, I think there's a humility aspect to it as well. And that's ultimately who, again, talk about Sacramento. Sacramento's a town that is very proud of who they are, but they're also very, you know, very humble people here in a great way. We're not Los Angeles. We're not San Francisco. We have a pride about who we are as a city, as a club, that comes from community. And so, you know, that community is what strengthens us. That's why we love playing in front of 12,000 fans, you know, every time out on the field. And we can't wait till everybody can pile back in that stadium, because it's going to be loud. It's going to be, you'll feel that energy. So the humility side of it, I think, you know, part of that is just being a good teammate and doing what it takes for the team and protecting the team.
And I know one of the things that, and I talked to Mark Briggs about this week, one of the hardest things about, you know, the season ending is evaluating the players and realizing that some players might not be coming back. Obviously, we saw last week the announcement of Sam Werner and Tomas Hilliard-Arce's retirements, which is a bittersweet, I think, for them. It's a bittersweet for us. I messaged Sam saying, I hope I work for you someday, because I know how intelligent he is. Tomas, same thing. I mean, as you know, as a Stanford grad, they're Stanford grads. I mean, they are so talented on the field, but off the field, I just have no doubt in the success that they're going to have. What do you think about their decisions to retire, and how excited are you to watch to see what they do next?
Yeah, very. I mean, I'm happy for them first and foremost, because this is it's one of the hardest things as an athlete to be able to, you know, you're always fearing beyond the field and you're wondering, hey, what else can I do? You know, your identity is built around being an athlete and playing soccer. And ultimately it's scary to look beyond that. And for these guys to proactively take that step, you know, they clearly have an idea of what they want to do and where they want to go. 100% sad that we're losing them, because they're both, like you said, they're, you know, top of the line, A+ guys, as people and great players too. So, you know, disappointed on that front, but happy for them and know that they're going to be doing big things, now and in the future.
And I mean, it's cool to see people like that who are a part of our club, who will always be kind of a part of our club, even though if they're not wearing the Republic jersey on the field next season. But, you know, it's just one of those things that when you're kind of a part of the Republic family, you kind of are forever. So it's a cool thing to be able to watch, and we'll see what those guys get to do next. I know it's going to be excellent. I don't want to take too much more of your time, but I just have one final question for you. 2021. I mean, I'm excited. I know you're excited. Mark Briggs is excited. The fans are excited. What types of things do you think on the field we will be seeing? Or is it going to be a little bit more of the same, I guess, structurally? Is there any plans in 2021, any differences we'll see, I guess, from the roster side? Or is it going to be a little bit more of what we saw in 2020?
Yeah, there'll be some changes, without a doubt. There's always changes. I haven't been through an offseason yet in professional soccer where there's not changes, and there will certainly be some in this offseason. We're always looking to make the team better. We're always looking to improve, and we think, you know, we're going to do that. That's our goal. That's what we're here to do. So everything we do is built with that in mind. I think, again, we have a very clear idea of the type of players we want, the profiles that we're looking for. We understand who we are as a club, what our identity is, what our style of play is. With all of that, you know, that's having that clear identity. I think now you can really hone in on what you're looking for and the types of players. And we're excited. We think we can bring in some real quality that's going to help our team, that fans are going to love, that ultimately we'll see a team that we can all be very proud of. And it's going to make a lot of opponents tremble a little bit next year.
It's going to be a lot of fun. I'm excited for 2021. I know you are, as we all are. This offseason is going to be interesting and entertaining to see what happens. Todd, thanks so much for coming on, talking to us. It's good to see you, my friend, and we'll talk to you soon.
Thanks, Connor. Anytime.
Our thanks to Todd Donovan for jumping on the podcast and talking to us for about 20-ish minutes or so. He didn't give away too much of what their plan is, but we know that he is working hard, trying to figure out what the 2021 roster will look like. Him and Mark Briggs, and obviously others in the soccer ops front office, looking at 2021. It's going to be a lot of fun. I'm very excited. We will see what happens coming up. And again, just excited to talk about going forward for the 2021 season. So our thanks to him for coming on the podcast. If you haven't yet, go back through the archives on the podcast. Scroll up wherever, if you're on the Apple Podcast, scroll up. Spotify, scroll up. We have a lot of stuff. If you've missed an episode, you're going to want to go and listen to those. There's a lot of good interviews, some players, obviously coaches. We've talked to Mark Briggs in depth multiple times. He was on last week, so if you haven't listened to that, go back there. Please rate, review, subscribe. I appreciate it greatly. All right, we'll be back next week with The Breakaway, and as always, go Republic!